Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside CEO of Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And I can hear you with half an ear.
I think I tripped up on your name again.
I guess it's not even a half an ear. It's one ear as opposed to two. But
half an ear is Van Gogh. I mean, that's
Okay, I'm better. Yeah, that's not that. It is not that at all. I know. Happy August 8th.
Important day, perhaps.
I don't know. Yesterday was an important day.
Yeah. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Carissa Cruz.
Thank you. Oh, did you practice saying it that time?
Yes, I had to get it out, a complete sentence once.
There you go.
Yes, happy birthday happy harvest. So,
I mean, crazy. So, I mean, we haven't really had a chance to talk about it too much yet, but I mean, harvest is in full swing. And literally, when I went back and looked at records, you know, having started July 16th, the earliest I know of in Sonoma County history.
That's insane.
I know. I mean, they were picking, actually harvesting down in like the Santa Barbara area, I think at the end of June, which was also strange. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So what are people feeling about that?
I mean, partly why it's so early is because the crop is so incredibly light. We're seeing both in whites and reds. I mean, a red Pinot for sure down 50% probably versus an average crop. So just incredibly light. Definitely coming off of, the April sort of rain, wind. There was a lot of shatter in the vineyards right during bloom. And so, just caused a really light fruit set overall. And Here we are. So probably not the worst year to have a light fruit harvest. But, yeah, so this week we started, from what I know from the growers, we actually started harvesting not just for sparkling wine, but for still wine as well. So I know there was some Pinot coming in. There's some Chardonnay coming in for still wine. So definitely sparkling harvest is still happening, where you bring it in on a little bit lower Brix or sugar. But it is all happening. So I think in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be pretty fast and furious. And I'm assuming it started early and will probably end early.
So there are going to be a lot of farmers and winemakers wandering around in September looking for things to do.
Seriously, I know. It's very odd.
September, October, they're like, all of a sudden my schedule's cleared.
Even with our board, we typically take off 2 months for harvest, and it's always September, October, but we have a board meeting on Monday. We'll see how many farmers we get.
Things have shifted.
Things have shifted, so there you go.
But quality, otherwise, I'm hearing is good.
I have one board member who texted me and said, the farmer side of me is like, oh crap, light harvest. The winemaker side of me is, this is going to be an incredible vintage. Like, light harvest means great, great quality fruit. He goes, and the business person's like, I think this is a good thing. So I guess that about sums it up. Thank you, Alex, for that.
You can feel when they're, it's a relaxed harvest on the winemaking side, right? They're like, oh, the wines feel relaxed, winemaker did.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well,
off
crazy
to the
times.
26 vintages upon us.
Okay, we will be right back on The Good Stuff to introduce our guest. On today's Good Stuff in studio, we have Claudia Ross, vintner, managing partner at Ross Ranch and Vineyards. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you, for having me.
Well, we have so much to ask.
Learn.
Ask and learn. Yeah. We can't learn without asking. So tell us, we always like to start at the beginning, like, who are you? Where did you come from? Where did you grow up?
Oh, my gosh.
What's your story?
Asking me where I grew up is kind of a loaded question, because I went to 9 schools between first grade and 12th grade.
Okay, but why is that?
9 schools.
Yeah, my dad was not in the military. He was an architect who just kind of was chasing his dream all over the country.
Wow.
But we ended up in Lafayette, California, where I met my husband at 15. We've been together really long time.
Wow. Wait, at 15?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay, so this is the point in the show.
These are always my favorite stories. So, how
Kristen wants to know more.
Yeah, you have to tell, like, how did you notice each other? Were you in class? Did you pass notes?
No.
Was it like a prom date?
All the details. He played football. This was in the weight room. He noticed me as a new girl and he asked who I was.
Oh, just like that.
Yeah.
And then what was the first date?
Well, he kind of stole me. I was a senior prom date for someone else. At the after party, he came and whisked me away.
Ooh,
wow. I feel really bad for the guy that I left, though.
Controversial. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
For sure.
And but that was that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that guy can't...
I know no better.
that guy can't feel bad after all because...
No.
You know,
it worked out.
The love of your life.
Meant to be.
There you go.
It all worked out.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No. I wasn't expecting love at 15. I love that.
I know, right? And I'm like 55, and I'm like, what the heck? How did that happen?
That's pretty awesome.
It's very fun. It's great.
So did you have a favorite, like, you living in 9 different places, what was the most unusual place?
It wasn't that it was unusual. It was that you're constantly having to have to reinvent yourself and make new friends. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got to the East Bay in Orinda, where I went to Miramonte High School, where I actually kind of found my people.
Oh, yeah. And felt like you could breathe and probably just settle a little bit.
Because I knew I was going to stay there for, the remainder of the high school years. I really kind of put my foot down with my parents. Like, oh, you cannot move me again.
Like, no more.
That's fair.
So I stayed there for 3 years. And Keith and I met. We went to 2 different universities. He went to Arizona. I went to Santa Barbara. And then we reconnected after college. And then did the whole thing. We actually moved to Mexico City for a couple of years.
Ooh, wow.
Okay. My husband, this was the first foray into the wine industry. He started working for Wente Vineyards.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Yeah.
So he was doing international sales down there. And I was in ad sales working for Condé Nast Traveler. So when I went down to Mexico City, I started selling ad space down there. And that's actually the first time I tried my first bottle of Petrus.
Oh, okay.
She just dropped that
like very casually. So funny. So you kind of like, and I had no idea what it was until much later. And I had seen like movies and TVs about what to do and how to taste wine. And you like swirl it around the glass and you kind of put it on your tip of your tongue kind of thing. And the guy goes, "You really know what you're doing." I'm like, "Yeah, I do."
Just fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Right? Like, just keep going. But the wine connect. So his connection to Wente, was that just by chance? Did he get that job just because he was good at sales, or was he specifically looking for something in the wine space?
He wanted actually something where he could use his dual language. Mm. Dual language?
Bilingual. Okay, so he was
Spanish. Fluent in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so was I. But I can't read it or write it. It's just because my mom's Guatemalan and my dad's Colombian, so we kind of grew up speaking Spanglish in the house.
Right.
But he studied Spanish all through college, all through high school, everywhere. So he really wanted to use his Spanish skills.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in Mexico City.
Yeah. You need them.
I put my hand up for that.
It's a great city.
Cool.
So you went to Santa Barbara, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Like, what did you want to do at that point? I mean, you went into ad sales after school, but was that what you were studying? Did you look at kind of marketing?
Well, I failed out of econ.
That's not an easy class.
How most good stories start.
The only thing I learned out of economics was cost benefit analysis, which has actually served me well in today's position. But I ended up becoming a poli sci major because, ironically enough, you don't have to know math in poli sci.
Huh. Works out well.
Yeah. Especially for our politicians who don't have to know math.
That whole budget, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny money.
And then, I still had no connection to the wine industry at all. And it wasn't until we lived in Mexico City, we came back, the dot-com boom was happening, and Keith left Wente to go to a startup. And that ended up not going well. So he got into consulting. So he's worked for some of the consulting firms, some of the bigger ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And then we got married, got pregnant, lived in the city, and just couldn't figure out how to make it all work in San Francisco with one kid and one kid on the way. So we bought a house in Lafayette, California. Mm-hmm. And there's a small plot of land in the front. And I'm like, God, it's going to be so expensive to landscape that. Like, I was already thinking, you put all this money into this home that was going to be a family home. And I knew I was going to stay there for the duration of the kids' lives in high school, up till high school. Because I was not going to have them move, like myself.
Yeah.
And I had seen this house in Orinda that had a vineyard in the front. I'm like, you know what, Keith, we should put a vineyard. He's like, well, that's a silly idea. Why would we do that? I'm like, I don't know, to look fancy. And, and so I did the research. Keith actually called someone from Wente, one of the growers that he'd become friends with, said, hey, is this a reality? And we figured out that we could plant 90 vines in the front yard. Mm. So we took a soil sample.
Just enough to be a lot of work.
Exactly. And to learn. So we planted 90 vines of Syrah.
Wow.
And that started our adventure in garage making wine.
So was Syrah your choice, or was it on the consultation of the Wente guy, or like what?
It was a combination of the consultation of the Wente guy, and then we sent the soil sample out to Davis.
Okay. And Syrah was the answer that came back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you like Syrah?
No. I have no idea. Again, I wanted to be
fancy.
Just
like when you start with Petrus, it's like,
I guess
I don't know.
You're like, ever since.
Syrah's fine.
So
it was with the intention, like, you're going to use these grapes to make something that you could at least drink.
Truthfully, I thought it would just look beautiful. I didn't actually put too much thought into the fact that we were actually going to make wine. But we actually put it out there, and this was really before Facebook Marketplace and the internet, really, to ask people, you know, help.
Yeah.
But we did find someone who worked at UC Berkeley, and he made wine, and he was a chemist, and he said, yes, I will help you. And I'll teach you how to make wine out of your garage.
Since you're crazy enough to have 90 vines of Syrah in your front yard, he's like, I'm on my way.
And the vines are still in existence today. We sold the property about 6 years ago.
Wow.
And these vines are so beautiful. I still drive back and I look and see how they're doing.
What's the appellation? Like, would it just
Lafayette?
Be...
Lafayette.
North Coast, though, or how would that
how
or
would you
San
label
Francisco
it?
Bay Area, or
I don't even know. What
I don't
that
know.
Would be.
I mean, if it's just in your garage, it doesn't really. It's whatever you want it to be.
It's
I mean,
address.
On our label, we just said Lafayette, California.
So when was the first vintage?
In 2007.
And how was it?
I mean, that's
it
pretty early.
It was awesome. I actually still have the bottle, and I have the label that we made on our printer, and we stuck it on with tape and glue. And we were really garage garagees.
What did you call it?
Well, affectionately amongst friends and family, we called it Front Yard Hooch.
Okay, I love it.
Because it was in the front yard.
Yeah.
But we just called it Ross, our Ross wine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that we created this logo. We traded it for a case of wine to a friend of ours who had a graphics company. And he goes, I gotcha. So he did this logo, and we've had that ever since. So we've had this logo for close to about 18, 20 years.
Okay,
that's really cool.
So from that first vintage, I mean, the interest grew.
Yes, it did. And so did our consumption of wine. So with as 90 vines, you only get about 10 cases, maybe just slightly less than half a barrel. And we realized that wasn't enough for us, especially since we entertained our friends a lot.
Was the wine good?
Yes.
Like, did you enjoy it? You enjoyed it.
It was actually really good.
That's cool.
And we're like, God, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
And so at the time, I'd started a PR company because from sales, I went into PR. And I was working with luxury brands, and this actually has something to do with the wine aspect of it. So one of my clients was Chanel, and we had a dinner party at Opus One.
Oh, wow.
And we went there, and we were talking to the winemakers, and we're like, so what do you guys do with your old barrels? They're like, you know, it's hard to get rid of them. You know, we just sort of either sell them. He goes, well, can we buy them? They're like, yeah, sure, no problem. Bring up the truck. So we borrowed a truck, and we started buying Opus One once-used barrels.
Wow.
And
good
we're like,
decision.
Well, now we need to fill these things.
Yeah, now what? Yeah.
So we
they're
started
empty.
driving up and down the valley and buying wine. I mean, buying grapes from people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, trucking it down. And we'd buy Merlot or Petit Verdot, Carignan. I mean, from Sonoma Coast, from Dry Creek, from anywhere that we could find a good grape. And did we have an actual vision of what we were going to blend? No.
So it was whatever grapes came in, then you sort of tried to figure
blending,
it out.
Yeah. Yes. And we actually would blend them with friends and family. And we actually still do the same kind of blending process, which is with blue painter's tape. So we line up a bunch of beakers and some, you know, some shivs of the different wines that we make.
Yeah.
And we start blending. Pencil and paper and blue painter's tape.
I think blending is so much fun.
It's how we cut our teeth into the whole winemaking industry.
It's eye-opening how much a small difference is can create such a different end product.
So we do six core wines. So we have our vintner's cut wine, which is where we put a little bit more effort and work mm-hmm. into it, and then our regular wines. But like for our blending, just adding our Zinfandel into the mix is kind of a, it just changed the wine mm-hmm. completely.
Huh. So did the UC Berkeley guy stick around for a while or at
just
some point?
Just 1 year.
Okay.
Said, that's it? Yeah. He taught you and that?
And he taught us. He took his case of wine. No, he actually took more than that. He took almost our entire production.
That's
what
he
said, good luck. And
for.
If you have any questions, please call me. And Keith and I just started figuring it out. So we rented the equipment.
Wow.
I'd send the kids home with little notes saying, my parents aren't serving me alcohol. I just smell like fermentation. Because their chores were to punch down the grapes.
Oh, funny. Gosh. Yeah, really funny. So at this point in time, are you starting to taste a lot of other wines? Are you buying a lot of other wines? Are you like really getting into it on the, you know, sort of exploration side?
A little bit. I mean, we had, you know, from Keith's background, you know, mm-hmm. he was gifted a lot of wine, and then now he was in the workplace, he was in consulting, he was going out to dinner a lot.
Yeah.
And so we really kind of by osmosis had to try a lot of different wines mm-hmm. and be able to entertain and things yeah. like that. So, but we really started developing our palate
yeah.
at that point. And that was, you know, late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. What did you like about the wine making and sort of the blending? I mean, what was it for you that like...
It was a sense of family and sense of community, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Because
that's great.
We did it with family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it became such a representation of who we were.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we wanted to be a little bit more spicy that year. Or
right.
sometimes we wanted to be a little bit
day.
More elegant. But it just depended on what we were feeling
yeah.
and what we were actually able to buy.
Yeah.
So we weren't very forward in our thought process mm-hmm. of what varietals we were going to buy.
Right.
We were like, oh, look.
Yeah.
Look, they're selling Merlot over there. Let's go
let's
buy
try
some.
That.
But that's
yeah.
so great because you
that's
get
you
to
learn.
Experiment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
learn so much that way.
And just
so
be open to things.
Yeah. And so, and we just started tasting all these different wines and just blending them in different kinds of ways. So because we didn't have a label print or anything, we'd have like, you know, it was just called Ross Ranch Blend, and we'd go 1, 2, or 3. And 1, 2, or 3 would have different combinations.
Huh.
And we just put the percentages at the bottom.
Yeah. Amazing.
So yeah. what did your, because at a certain point you make a big move.
Yes.
So what was your production at, out of the garage? What's the most wine you were making out of your garage at any time?
Well, by law, you're allowed to have one barrel per human
okay.
in the house.
So
I think
so
we can't, I think
so
we counted
four
dogs and the cats.
And dogs and cats. So
we would do about six barrels a year.
Yeah, there you go.
Six barrels a year for a while.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that was the regulation.
I didn't either.
One barrel. So, and can it, is the barrel size important? Like, can you do like a giant?
I never asked you.
Have you seen our egg?
Right, exactly. Or you're like,
our tank.
Massive tank, right? Redwood
yes.
tank from somewhere, but no. But that's okay. So, but that's a lot to experiment with, and that's a lot of grapes.
Yeah,
to
buy. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of processing in a garage.
But you know, we would.
You parked outside.
Actually have a video of the kids who are now graduated. They're all
yeah.
in their 20s now, of them stomping the grapes in a macro bin.
Yeah.
So we could fit 6 to 8 macro bins in our garage.
Oh my gosh.
And we
awesome.
Punched them down.
And the cars stayed outside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. That,
like
that really
cars.
Became,
yeah.
became our wine
yeah.
our wine facility.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
What yeah, garage?
Yeah, I know. Well, I know. I haven't had a garage in decades. So. Okay. Well, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we will talk more with Claudia Ross, vintner, managing partner, Ross Ranch and Vineyards.
So fun.
Yeah. On today's Good Stuff with Claudia Ross, vintner, managing partner at Ross Ranch and Vineyards. And so...
And garagista.
And garagista, yes. So you go, so you're making all this wine in your garage, one barrel per person, more or less.
Ish.
And, and then in 2018, something changes.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
make a big move. So
yeah.
what, tell
yeah,
us
what
all,
happened?
What happened? Yeah. What led to that?
So those kids actually grew up.
And, they do.
We knew they were leaving for college, and we were kind of not over the suburbs because we had an incredible journey there. But we were kind of ready for more. And we just obviously loved making wine. And we're like, gosh, what if we could expand this? Again, we didn't realize that we were going to turn it into a full-blown business. But we started looking, actually more Keith than myself, just traveling up and down the valleys and figuring out where we liked, what we liked, what we didn't like. We realized that we were totally outpriced in Napa. That was, you know, all the big ones were buying up all the different wineries and land. And so we started going up either to Pope Valley, and then we found this little valley called Knights Valley. And we just fell in love, and we would drive up and down all the little streets, and we were driving past these green gates, the Behringer gates. And there's a little tiny piece of, you know, those little realtor plastic boxes. I'm like, what is that? And we pulled out a piece of paper that says for sale by owner.
Wow.
It wasn't even on MLS, and it was 22 acres within our budget.
Wow.
Incredible. And Knights Valley, it's special
gorgeous.
Place.
Yeah.
It's so special. I'm actually using my PR hat, and I'm starting a real big campaign around Knights Valley, the AVA, and really getting it promoted, because people don't really know about Knights Valley unless you're really in the wine business or you're a big connoisseur of wine. So where is that? You're like, okay, 7 miles north of Calistoga, southeast of Healdsburg, or just south of Alexander Valley. So we're kind of lost a little bit, but I'm really doing a big push to really promote the AVA.
So 22 acres.
Yes.
What was there?
Dirt.
Dirt.
Dirt into a mobile home and a double wide.
So which one did you move into?
Fancy.
Very fancy. The trailer trash one. No, I'm kidding. No, we fixed them up and we moved in. But before that, we actually lived in they had a storage warehouse or like a storage room barn where they kept the tractor and the boat and all sorts of farm equipment. And so we kind of would live on cots there. And
really?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And we'd go up every weekend and oversee everything. But we knew we wanted a plant. So it was part of the Williamson Act. So it was an agricultural property, which is why they had, I think it was like 25 olive trees. But we knew we wanted to plant grapes. So we knew that obviously Cabernet was one of the best varietals to plant.
Nice valley.
So we pulled out. We tried to save as many olive trees that we could, but we pulled most of them out and planted 11 and a half acres of Cab with a small plot of Hedron Zinfandel.
Okay. All in.
All in.
No Syrah. I'm sad about that.
I know.
Like, those are your roots.
Really.
Okay. Well.
Well, then, you know, I've been staring at this bottle of Sauvignon Blanc that I'm probably just going to open.
I think
it's probably time to do that.
I don't think you can wait any longer.
I know. so I've been staring at that, but I don't hear Sauvignon Blanc being planted.
No. So we actually lease land. We buy the grapes from our neighbor. So Arret family, and they're amazing. They're great neighbors. And it actually, I know, right? I love that sound. So we buy their Sauvignon Blanc grapes. They're 35-year-old vines.
That's awesome. So,
yeah,
I'm going to try it.
Yeah,
please
do.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, so while you're pouring, so you plant plant vines in what year? 2018 also?
2018.
Okay, and then?
And our first vintage was 2021.
Okay, good vintage to start.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was really great. And, you know, when you're making a single varietal wine, and we did so at Syrah, but we didn't realize how much we're going to be making. And it really kind of pushed us into, okay, well, let's get incorporated. Let's start building a website. Let's start building a brand. And then this pretty thing called COVID happens. So we all move up there full time, the kids, my husband and I, and we start building horse fencing and we start building the real infrastructure on the property.
And so this is your full-time residence now.
Yeah. So I had a PR agency called Cross Marketing PR. We actually helped launch Senegal Winery.
Yeah, okay,
And a couple other wine brands as well. But knowing that I wasn't going to go back to that necessarily, I kind of started slowly shutting that down and then going full-time into this.
From your PR perspective, like what's the most important thing to communicate, like for a property like yours?
I mean, brand recognition. And what I realized early on is it's just as you know, difficult to get into a Four Seasons as it is into a smaller grocery store. I mean, it takes just as much work, just as much effort. And so I always knew early on that I wanted to really go into the higher luxury places because they're not quite as price sensitive. And all our wines are priced under $100.
Great.
And, you know, at first I'm like, no, I think we should price them a little bit more. And Keith just asked me a real simple question. Like, when you go to a store and you go buy a wine, are you spending over $100 for that everyday bottle that you're going to drink? I'm like, no. He goes, well, then we're going to price it for ourselves. We're going to price it as, you know, how we would want to buy a bottle of wine.
So talk a little bit about what you're all making. And did you expand the vineyard anything beyond the Cabernet and Zinfandel? Are those still your two grape varieties?
So it's a really small plot of headroom Zinfandel. And it's just, it's beautiful. You drive in, it's like this like wild, messy hair like growing right when you pull in. And then you have the trellis vines on either side of the property. But we planted those, but we also knew that we are great blenders. So we were going to buy fruit from only Knights Valley. So we started buying Merlot, Cab Franc, some other Zinfandel to blend. And we just started blending that way.
That's great.
Using our cab as the base. So you're always going to see a 60, 65% core base of cab, and then we use the others to blend.
Right.
So we started out with our first vintage was the Sauvignon Blanc, because that was easy to do. And then we had to wait and wait and wait for our cab to come through. And then same with our blend.
This is a very a business that teaches you a lot of patience.
Yes, more than any other
that I know
it feels
of.
Like, yes.
Yeah, right?
So we started with three. We started with our Sauv Blanc, and we started with our Ranch Red Blend in 21, and then we started with our cab. It's 100% varietal. And we're really, really proud of these wines. And they were great, and they were beautiful. And then after tasting the Sauv Blanc, I really think the Sauv Blanc was really the inspiration behind it all, behind creating a secondary line where we actually put just a little bit more effort into it. Okay. And we called it our Vintner's Cut line. So it's not a premium. It's just done a little differently.
Yeah,
so with our cab, we age it for 30 months instead of 24. And we actually hyper-select the barrels and the blocks of land on the property. So we have two. We have Creek Block and Barn Block. And so by selecting the best fruit and the best barrels, we can sort of create an elevated version of the cab. And with our Sauv Blanc, instead of doing it in stainless steel, we actually started aging it in neutral oak.
Great.
And we created kind of like a white burgundy-style Sauv Blanc, which is kind of fun.
Incredibly fun.
And I like to describe it as like one of them is a pair of blue jeans, no makeup, hair pulled back, casual, easy drinking. The other one, I'm going to put a little bit more effort into how I look.
It's a little like, black cocktail dress.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what the two wines are like.
I like it.
I know that
and,
we have.
And both are perfect for Sonoma County.
Right.
Let's just be honest.
True. What is that? Dress casual?
Or? Wine country casual.
Wine country casual. Yeah.
And then our blend. And our blend is where we have all the fun. And we still pull out the painter's tape. And we still pull out the beakers. And we do it on this table.
So who gets invited to the blending?
You know, it's usually family and friends.
Yeah. So some of the same people, have they always been coming since the early
days of
the
Syrah? Some of the same people, but we love exploring other people's palates.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I
think that makes it all that much more interesting. Yeah. And because we use everything from only Knights Valley fruit, we're always sort of subjective to what's available to us.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Well, and there you don't have a lot of neighbors, but it sounds like you have some good ones. So maybe they get invited. I don't know. Or maybe they're...
We haven't quite invited the neighbors yet, but
it's
pretty much we have a core group of people that we sort of bring in.
Nice. Nice.
Whose palates we actually have to trust.
Yeah.
Yes. Very true. For sure. Very true. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. Be right back on with Claudia Ross. Are speaking with Claudia Ross, Vintner, Managing Partner at Ross Ranch and Vineyards. And so we've talked about your whole, you know, now you're blending, you're making all these different wines,
we're
growing
legit.
All these grapes, you're legit.
Well, but, you've been legit for a long time.
To actually say I have 3,200 cases a year, like, I'm in the wine business.
You are. You very much are. But you also have a few other things on your ranch.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I want to know about Elizabeth and Taylor.
So they were birthday presents in 2018.
Okay.
And so I might quiz you on this later. So Elizabeth and Taylor got pregnant by Pablo Escobar. He's the... you have to rent
you
a
said,
bowl.
You said that very casually.
I know.
By Pablo Escobar. Okay.
So Elizabeth and Taylor gave birth to Salty and Pepper. Pepper's now in our freezer.
Aww.
And then, but this is all organic meat. And then
that's how it goes.
Elizabeth and Taylor and Salty gave birth to Johnny Walker and Cash. Johnny's up next.
I love all the names.
These are good names. Yes.
Those are really good names.
Yes. And then Elizabeth Taylor and Salty gave birth to Crosby, Stillie, and Nash.
I love that too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gosh. And they're all on your property.
Yeah. No, they're all on our property. And we have chickens and goats. Goats are Willie and Waylon. And we have peacocks.
of course they are. Yeah.
You know, this is a really big year for rattlesnakes.
Okay.
But we don't have a single one. And the reason why we don't have a single one is because peacocks manage our rattlesnake
population.
Is that
right?
Yes.
Another learning.
Huh. So what? Yeah. How do they do that? Is it just male peacocks that
just
like,
male
jump
peacocks
on them?
And so I brought you guys some peacock feathers, but because they drop their feathers once a year. But they are a little gift that keeps on giving. So they take care of the little mini rattlesnakes, and we haven't seen a single one. And we have neighbors who call in the rattlesnake patrol once a month because it's so bad.
Yeah.
Peacocks.
With the heat. And, I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know.
What do they do? They scream? Well, they eat them, but
well,
do they
Fleetwood
scream
and
at
Mac
them?
Are,
Fleetwood and Mac.
Fleet and Wood are the closest together, and then Mac kind of trails behind. But yeah, they're really good at their job.
Incredible.
No,
all right.
Do you just sit around and giggle when you talk about all the names of your animals? Because that makes me giggle.
I don't think about it because it's just so
it's just
normal for
normal.
Me.
Yeah.
So normal.
I mean, the Dixie Chicks do still produce eggs.
Oh my God.
They get a little lazy in the hot months, but we get fresh eggs every day.
Yeah. They get to take a rest when it's hot.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to come see Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Is that ever going to happen?
We don't have a Dolly or Kenny yet, but who knows? Maybe soon.
I think you've inspired perhaps the next level.
I'm just saying.
So how can people come in and experience Ross Ranch? Can they come visit? Can they follow the cows
around? So we are by appointment only, and we really teach the agricultural aspect of winemaking and our ranch life. And we introduce like our farm to table. We have an organic garden. We share some of our meats with our guests. And we do this full ranch experience.
Yeah.
And,
that's
you know,
awesome.
People bring their kids, they pet the animals, they pet the horses.
Yeah.
It's a really neat
an
family environment.
Yeah.
And they get also taste great wines.
Yeah, absolutely. So people get in touch how? They come onto your...
They come onto the website and they email visit@rossranchwine.com.
And you're usually the person leading them around? Or?
Party of one, yes.
Wow.
With a lot of backup singers.
Exactly.
I had someone just call me and goes, you know, can you check with your tasting room manager to see if you can have a party of six on Thursday at 6? I'm like, hold on, let me check. No problem. I think we're good.
Yeah.
So that would be me.
Yeah, just
I love that.
Just paged and we're good.
You're like, I'll patch her in, just a second.
And my husband's been a great partner. He has a full-time job, but he works so hard to support this endeavor when he can.
It's so awesome.
And then you mentioned your sons earlier. So one, I think you told us maybe before we started recording, has gone into firefighting.
Yes. He's starting Fire Academy this week, and the other one's in Los Angeles and will most likely not be coming back.
Okay. All right.
Hey, never say never.
No, never say never.
I feel like they find their way home sometimes and realize that's a nice, you know.
He just moved into his first apartment this week.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. It's neat. It's really neat. But, you know, living on the ranch has been really such a great experience in making wine and welcoming guests. And we just launched our wine club. So
great.
We partnered with the team at Wix so we can build your own box. It's been really a great adventure of building it.
Yeah. Well, I just love that you didn't really know wine was going to be your thing. And here you are on a ranch.
It's my thing,
in
Knights
Valley, and you're fully in. That's
absolutely
so great. I mean, I think people come to this business, this community,
so many different ways.
Drawn in so many different ways. And it sounds like the community part was what first got you.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It probably keeps you. Yeah. I love that.
Well, and making it full time, too. I mean, you're
yeah, I'm in it.
Yeah, you're in it. And do you find like a lot, you know, are you still using your PR experience probably every step of the way?
I do a little bit. You know, it's interesting, you know, marketing brands for other people and then now you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like finally
you get to tell your story.
It comes full story, you know, full circle.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Well. All right. So people can find out more, rossranchwine.com or they can contact Claudia directly, I think.
You should go visit and hang out with Fleetwood and Mac and
Elizabeth and Taylor.
Elizabeth and Taylor. And Crosby, Salty, Stills, not Pepper.
And Stillies. Yeah.
The Dixie Chicks. The Dixie Chicks will be there.
And the pigs are the Spice Girls.
Oh, of course they are.
Of course they are. And have some wine while you're at it.
And most importantly, enjoy wine. Absolutely. Being immersed in agriculture. That's really awesome.
And we love welcoming guests.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you both for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
RossRanchWine.com.
Awesome. Thanks.
Up on today's good stuff and Ross Ranch.
Ross Ranch.
I think everybody should go.
Yeah.
Meet the crew.
Do you know what?
Try the wine.
It's going to make me smile all day.
I know.
Just thinking about the spice pigs, spice girl pigs.
Spice girl pigs.
The Dixie Chicks. Also, I've had the chance to meet Claudia previously, but had no idea really where their story started.
Mm-hmm.
What an incredible journey. Very unusual. Yeah, good for them.
Well, and to go from, having just vines in your front yard
First of all, wanting to plant vines in a very suburban area,
right,
in your front yard.
Yeah, landscaping, I guess.
And then actually make the wine from it, like go through finding someone to help teach you how to make the wine, to blending, to growing, to eventually moving
to Knights Valley. Tough place to farm, tough place to live, but I mean, yeah, they're doing it all themselves.
Yeah, but what a beautiful, I mean, it's cool. Such a beautiful spot, and kind of right there on the border of Sonoma and Napa. So
yeah, I encourage anybody who has not been to that neck of Sonoma County to go. It's quite stunning.
It is quite stunning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you want to learn more, RossRanchWine.com, or you can contact Claudia directly, since it sounds like she's a one-woman show.
Yeah.
Claudia at RossRanchWine.com. And what do you think about Tuesday night?
Well, since she was so generous with bringing us some Ross Ranch wine, I'm just going to snag one of these bottles, take it home, and have it on Tuesday. So I'm going to do the Ranch Red, because she talks so much about all their blending that's what I want to try. So this is the 2023, obviously from Knights Valley, and it's got Cabernet, Merlot, Malbec, and Zinfandel. 18 months.
I meant to ask her, like, the head prune Zinfandel that they planted, so, I mean, they were not there already, so they just found some head prunes
I don't know. That is a great question. Okay. All right, we're going to have her back.
We're going to have to
field trip out in person while we're petting
Elizabeth and Taylor.
So what are you doing?
I had my eye kind of on the Sauvignon Blanc that she poured was lovely, but I like that she talked about the vintner's cut, kind of like that second
level. I like that,
2024, though. I think because they, it's a specific cut, or they do longer aging, so they're 2024, I think, is current vintage.
Yep.
I'm going to try that.
I assume so. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because we tried the 25 Ross Ranch Sauv Blanc a couple minutes ago.
So we got three vintages right there.
That is very cool. Well, so much fun. People should go visit, look them up, enjoy, join the club, all the things.
Oh, that's right. She did mention the wine club.
Yeah.
And, I think beyond that, I'm not sure if they've got the wines in local restaurants, but probably won't be long.
Yeah. And to completely send you a curveball, if you're out at Oracle today, we are doing Sonoma County Wine Growers as our partnership starting at 2:15. So very soon, we are pouring wine on the flight deck. So Trioni, Imagery, Benovia, and Outer Bound for our wine club members of the Giants Wine Club. So that's kind of fun.
All right.
If you're general public, you can't go. I just read wine club members only, but you can wave and maybe still say hi to our vintner partners at Oracle today.
Or watch the game with a glass of Sonoma County wine.
Absolutely. They're playing the Detroit Tigers. Go Giants.
All right. Well, the Go Giants. Thank you for joining us today from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.